we conclude the great 50 days of Eastertide. And of course, Pentecost, penta meaning 50, counts down those days until this day when we receive once again the power of the Holy Spirit and we celebrate and rejoice in his coming. However, I think sometimes there is a bit of a risk of falling into the heresy of what it was known back in the fourth century as modalism, and that is assigning to the members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, certain job descriptions, if you will. It was in vogue for a while to refer to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as creator, redeemer, and sustainer. You probably know that. That in and of itself is heresy. But it is, because we don't assign job descriptions. I mean, we certainly know God created. But God created through the Word by the power of the Spirit. You don't believe me? Go turn to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep. And God said, through the Word, let there be light, and there was light. Where there is the Father, there is the Son. Where there's the Son, there is the Spirit. Now, I can't go too far into that because I have to have something to say for Trinity Sunday. But we have a tendency on Whitsunday, the Feast of Pentecost, to just look at the Spirit. And if we do that, you know, again, there's that risk of falling into one person of the Trinity and not considering the others. But we all have to admit and agree that understanding and trying to reference with any sort of vision the Holy Spirit is a difficult task, a very difficult task indeed. The story is told of missionaries in Japan many centuries ago. They were catechizing some of the folks there. And one of the catechists came up to one of the priests and said, you know, Honorable Father, I understand. Honorable Son, I understand. Honorable Bird, I do not understand. Honorable Bird. And of course, the image of the dove comes directly from Scripture in the story of the account of our Lord's baptism. And the sky opened and the Spirit descended like a dove. I have the Honorable Bird on my back. We have the Honorable Bird on the frontal. We have the Honorable Bird on the burse and the veil, and on the veil over the icon of our Lord. So that imagery, somebody after the service at 8 o'clock said it's a difficult thing to grasp because we can't see it. And some of us, you know, are visual learners, and some of us are other type of learners. But so the Honorable Bird, the Holy Spirit, is that wonderful, powerful symbol. But back in the fourth century, there was a saint by the name of Gregory of Nazianzus. And for those of you who were in church or at 11:30 service, a couple of weeks ago, you heard me talk about Gregory of Nazianzus. He was one of the Cappadocian fathers, one of the patristic fathers. And he was very much involved, having been illumined and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, of developing the theology and the understanding. There was certainly an understanding of God the Father as being divine, of course. And there was that great Arian controversy about whether, in fact, Jesus was both truly God and truly man. That was decided at the Council of Nicaea. But the question of who the Holy Spirit was still kind of hanging out there. Now, Gregory of Nazianzus went to a small place and he began to preach a series of sermons. And in those sermons, he was explaining how, using Scripture, the Holy Spirit is truly God too. And he used the simple examples of our Lord's life. And he said, prior to our Lord's incarnation and birth, the Holy Spirit preceded him. During our Lord's ministry, with the miracles he wrought, the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, the feeding of the 5,000, the Holy Spirit was there. At his crucifixion, and particularly his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was there. The Lord, the giver of life, was that power of God that raised him from the dead. And, he said, after the ascension of our Lord, which we celebrated last week, who takes the place of Jesus? But the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So Jesus was taken up so the Spirit could come. And we hear this morning in the Acts of the Apostles how the Spirit fell mightily on the disciples. And they were united in one faith and one confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we hear in Corinthians, of course, about Paul's enumeration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he's talking about those particular ministries that the apostles were given, you know, the speaking in tongues, the prophecy, faith, those various things. And those are all wonderful. We could get deeply into those. Or we could talk about the fruits of the Spirit, the joy, you know, love, kindness, patience, forbearance, that sort of thing. Those are wonderful. But there are other gifts that are imparted to each Christian soul. And they were referred to in the hymn, the wonderful hymn that we sang at the opening of the service. And that is the sevenfold mystical gifts of the Holy Spirit that every Christian is endowed with. Now, you certainly know them, but I thought it would be good for us to refresh, just so you remember what those gifts are. Just so you remember, right. You'll remember them as I go through them, because you live them out every single day. In short, they are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, love that word, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Now, in Washington Cathedral, where I used to worship, there was a chapel of the Holy Spirit off of the crossing. It was a beautiful chapel with a beautiful reredos and red and the big, you know, dove and all that. And around the altar were the sevenfold mystical gifts in mosaic, and each one was with a particular image. And it was always powerful to me that those gifts were there in that altar in that place. So wisdom. Benjamin Franklin said once, wisdom, knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. But what is holy wisdom? Holy wisdom is that gift of the Holy Spirit that affects not only our intellect, but our will. Now, it only affects our intellect, but our will, what we think and how we act. And the gift of wisdom illuminates the heart and gives us an ability to see God as the divine and gives us the ability to seek him. Because in and of ourselves, we cannot do that. We cannot see the divine. We cannot seek the divine. We need the help of the Holy Spirit with the gift of wisdom to do that. It is that gift of love that transforms the heart, that we can know and say that truly there is a God and he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us that gift of wisdom. And then you might think, well, there's wisdom and then there's understanding, as I said, as Benjamin Franklin said. But understanding is different. Understanding is the gift of the Holy Spirit that enlightens the mind. It's more of a cerebral gift, if you will, so that we can understand and grasp the truths of the faith. Now, we can never fully understand and grasp the truth, the truths of the faith, even though Jesus says, you know, I will guide you and lead you into all truth. But the gift of understanding allows us to see just a little bit of what God has prepared in those wonderful mysteries, the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery of the ascension, the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, in which the Holy Spirit comes and falls mightily on bread and wine, and we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of counsel, it is to judge rightly by seeing as God would see. In other words, the gift of counsel gives us that ability to see God in every situation. In every situation. That's a hard thing. We live in a hard, difficult world, and sometimes it's hard to see how and why God would be acting or would be even present in certain situations. But the gift of the Holy Spirit with holy counsel gives us eyes of the heart and eyes of the mind to see God in every situation and to understand that he is present and he is present there for us. And I love this one, fortitude. When's the last time you heard the word fortitude? You haven't heard it in a long time. My scoutmaster used to use the word fortitude. We would be out in the middle of the field on a Friday night camping out and the rain would start falling. And he'd say, you know, close up the tents, make sure you dug your trench. Have fortitude, men, have fortitude. And the rain would be pouring and the rain would be coming in and you think, fortitude? I want my warm bed. But I remember that to this day. God love him. Carl Schneider was a wonderful man. Fortitude reminds us of that wonderful passage in Romans where St. Paul talks about having, you know, courage and character and endurance. You know, suffering produces character, and character produces hope, and hope produces endurance, and all those things are fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Fortitude is that gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us in this world to stand up for what is right, to stand up for the truth, even when we know that is a difficult thing. Because that is the witness of the apostles. They stood up for the truth. They did not back down. They proclaimed the gospel. They raised the cross. And they preached Christ crucified and Christ raised from the dead. Fortitude. And then knowledge. Again, kind of difficult to distinguish between wisdom and understanding and knowledge. But again, knowledge is that ability of the gift of the Holy Spirit for us, if humanly possible, and it's certainly not, and so the sentence that I'm going to say doesn't even make sense, but it's to be able to see things, if you can, from the perspective of God. I like to think of it as finding good in everybody and in everything. Finding good in everybody and in everything. Because in all things, no matter how dark or bleak they may seem, there's always some good somewhere that comes out of it. And as much as, you know, I may dislike this person or not, if you put yourself in their shoes and you stand there for a moment and you think of what their life is about, it gives you a different perspective, does it not? So that gift of knowledge is seeing the world, seeing every individual, seeing every circumstance and situation with the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't easy. No, it is not easy. It is not easy. But he didn't promise you a rose garden, did he? No, he did not. Somebody used to tell me that all the time in my former parish. No, it's not easy. But God gives us that gift of fortitude. Remember, fortitude to do that. Yes. Then piety. When's the last time you heard the word piety? Probably not for a long, long time. That's one of those ancient words, you know, piety. Be pious. Be pious. Piety is just simply the ability that we find to rely on God and not ourselves. To rely on God and not ourselves. It's to be able to be reverent. We come into church and we're reverent. And to rely on God's trust, God's humility, and God's love. It's to turn ourselves over to God. It's to submit our wills, our hearts, our minds, and soul to worship Almighty God. Because God is God, and we are not. Right? We are not. And then lastly, fear of the Lord. And that's a tough one. Fear of the Lord. Now, think of Moses, if you would. Moses was trotting down the road, minding his own business. And what did he see? Moses saw this bush burning, right, on the side of the road. And Moses, you know, thought, wow, this is a cool thing. I'm going to go see the bush. So as he stepped towards the bush, God spoke to him through the bush, and he said, take off your shoes, Moses. You are on holy ground. Remember that? And Moses approaches the bush, and God speaks to him. Now, you have to think that he was filled with great awe and fear. He had to be, just like Elijah hiding in the cave when the earthquake and all that happened. But fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. It's fear that we want to please him, because he created us and we're made in his image. So fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing because it gives us respect for our creator, the one who made us. And then take that all the way back to the first one, which was wisdom, and fear is the beginning of wisdom. Remember, that's scriptural as well. So the sevenfold mystical gifts we are all bestowed with. And now that I've refreshed your mind, and hopefully your heart, and perhaps your soul, we go forward from this place on this day in which we celebrate the sevenfold mystical gifts of the Holy Spirit that we are richly endowed with. And we go forward, hopefully, from this place, renewed understanding what God is calling us to do, to witness to his love, to his goodness, to his power in the world by the Holy Spirit, that honorable bird, which this day we celebrate and give thanks and praise to, because he has bestowed upon us those gifts in which we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and purify our hearts, that when our Lord Jesus Christ cometh, he may find in us a mansion worthily prepared. And may those sevenfold mystical gifts be those that allow us to glorify you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always.